And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station, at a minute now before 9 o'clock. Coming up this morning at 9:30, join us for Fight the Empire. Today, host Per Fogring speaks with Michael T. Clare about his article, Big Oil in Retreat, which argues that the dynamics of the energy industry may be changing in a way that could sink Canada's vast tar sands enterprise in a sea of red ink. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with guest host Kevin Pina. The American Psychological Association responds to allegations of providing cover for the CIA's torture program, and Flashpoints continues coverage of Haiti amid the continuing controversy surrounding parliamentary elections. At 11 on Between the Covers, David Naiman speaks with local poet and critic David Beispiel about his collection of essays, A Long High Whistle. That is all coming up this morning after Teresa Mitchell hosting Press Watch with news you're not supposed to know. Stick around, that's next on KBOO.
Happy National Radio Day from KBOO in Portland, Oregon. KBOO is an independent, member-supported, volunteer-powered community radio station. KBOO embodies social change, shares knowledge, and fosters creativity by delivering locally rooted and diverse music, culture, news, and opinions with a commitment to the voices of oppressed and underserved communities. Thank you for celebrating National Radio Day by listening to local radio.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for the brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. So I'm doing something different this morning. I am live streaming, or I think that I am. And I'm using livestream.com, and I'm pressing the red button, and it's listed as Press Watch, but there's a big old problem in this procedure, and that is I don't know what I'm doing, never done it before, and I don't know if it'll work. So if you can find Press Watch on livestream, well, good luck. You'll see my face, hopefully. And the inside of the studio here at KBOO Portland at 90 at 20 Southeast 8th. And I'm just going to start my show anyway. I brought a Geiger counter today, and it is showing 23 counts per minute in the interior studio. It's showing 22 outside. I brought it out because, well, the Northwest is kind of burning, and there are fires north and south, northeast and southeast of Portland, and of course all along the coast, something like 66 major fires. A tremendous amount of smoke is being produced, and I'm almost sorry that most of it is not coming here to the Portland area, because then people would be much more aware of it. But the Cascade Range is holding most of that smoke back from the area. So the Geiger counter is out to determine just you know, how radioactive that smoke is, or what changes might be made, because Hanford has released into this area again and again for decades. And when the trees go up, so do the radioactive particles. So my GQ Electronics Geiger Miller counter, which does not count alpha, is showing at the moment 12. And as I was saying earlier, it was showing 24. So it's going up and down. And that is the level of radiation currently that I can find on my instrument. This is Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell. And before I say anything else, I want to say, because we are at that point of history, Black Lives Matter. And I also want to take a step back and thank someone here. There's so many people who I could thank. I could thank the engineer who's been doing a fantastic job, better every week for so long now. Thank you, Rock. But I want to thank Kathleen Stevenson, news and public affairs producer who's on, and director, I mean, who's on a first-name basis with authors, activists, and the world's premier intellectuals. She's a little-known but major and dynamic factor behind KABU public affairs programming. Her workload is prodigious and endless and has been for decades. There would not be Press Watching without her, so thank you, Kathleen, for being the colossus of community radio. And another thing I'm doing differently, I want to get Press Watch on SoundCloud. Why all these changes? Well, I anticipate retiring from my my day job. I'll take this live stream thingy and show my uniform. And my day job has nothing to do with this broadcast, by the way. And I hope to switch it up. I want to be visual. I want to have more interviews, lots of things that I will have more time to do, and I would like to have Press Watch on SoundCloud. I don't know how to do that. And as I was saying before, I would also very much like to have the ability to broadcast this program on live stream. So that's still going on, I think. Here's a news item for you from Radio Havana, Cuba. Dateline Brussels, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization has launched massive military drills across Europe in what is seen as a move to deter alleged threats from Russia in the region. According to reports on Tuesday, Germany, Italy, Bulgaria, and Romania are currently hosting over 5,000 soldiers from 11 NATO member states participating in the massive airborne drills called Swift Response 15. The maneuver is the largest Allied airborne training event on the continent since the end of the Cold War. That's according to a statement issued by the U.S. military in the southern German town of Grafenwöhr, I think. Quoting more from Radio Havana, Cuba, the drills, which will continue for weeks, are aimed at boosting the military capabilities of the organization's high readiness forces, as well as showing the Allies' capacity to rapidly deploy and operate in support of maintaining a strong and secure Europe. NATO is also scheduled to hold another large maneuver in September across the continent. Reports say that 36,000 soldiers from over 30 NATO and partner member states will attend the exercise Trident Juncture in southern and central Europe next month. That's from Radio Havana, edited by Ivan Martinez. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Live streaming, I hope, I think. Let me try pressing another button. Let's see, there's a big red button here. What happens when you press the big red button? Stopping, it says. Oh, great. Okay, so I think I am not live streaming. And I will try again in a minute. If you want to try to find the live stream, it's listed as Press Watch 9 to 9:30 on the live stream. I think it's livestream.com. I'll just let it stop there. You can do whatever it wants for right now, because I have some news to present. This from World Socialist. 7 years after the Wall Street crash of September 2008, fears are growing within ruling circles internationally that the world capitalist economy, far from recovering, is descending into depression. There is increasing speculation as to where the next financial meltdown will be, triggering a collapse in trade and production. As to how to prevent such a turn of events, there is general perplexity. The very countries previously touted as the engines of world economic growth following the 2008 recession, China and the so-called emerging market economies, are now seen as the places most likely to spark a new global downturn. China's surprise currency devaluation, coming amidst a marked cooling of its economy and continuing stock market turmoil, has intensified fears that its crisis is far deeper than previously thought. The emerging economies of Latin America, Eastern Europe, Asia, and Africa are facing massive outflows of capital as their stock and bond markets and currencies plummet, and their debt burdens are compounded by the rise in the U.S. dollar. Driving all of these developments is a global growth of deflationary pressures reflected in the ongoing fall in the prices of basic commodities, from oil and natural gas to copper, iron, and other metals. Now, I want to hear from you. Do you feel, from your experience and from what you are noticing from your friends and family, do you feel that the economy is getting stronger? Because that's what you're being told, and that's what I sincerely doubt. Okay, it looks like I'm live streaming again. Livestream.com, press watch. Who knows what's going on here? I'm messing with my phone trying to find places for it. Maybe I could put it on the microphone. Let's see if that works. Microphone's a complicated little doodah. Ooh, it kind of makes a little stand. I could put my little camera on the microphone and it could possibly fall to the floor or not. Isn't this fascinating? Experimenting with video on radio. Okay, I'll give that a try for a minute. Driving all of these developments, they write, is a global growth of deflationary pressures reflected in the ongoing fall in prices of basic commodities. With Europe and Japan mired in recession and the U.S. recovery proving to be both fragile and hollow, there is no evident country or group of countries in a position to save world capitalism from disaster. The world economy is like an ocean liner without a lifeboat. That's Stephen King, chief economist at HSBC, the world's third largest bank. And I just want to stop and say that I think it's kind of funny when we're talking about something scary that it turns out we're hearing it from Stephen King. Not that Stephen King, but the chief economist at HSBC. Anyway, he points to three looming dangers: the risk of a stock market crash, the failure of pension funds and insurers to meet obligations, and the prospect of a Chinese recession dragging the U.S. into a recession or depression. And speaking for myself and departing from that text, I would say that there is also a huge threat from the derivatives. I've mentioned that the derivatives debts, the notional debts are in the quadrillions. The actual amount that is supposed to be paid out from that is supposed to be a much smaller percentage, but the world does not even have 20%. Of the derivatives debt available to pay, and if it were all to come at once, well, then there would surely be a crash. Things just wouldn't be working right. And let's see. My connection, it says, seems to be too slow to continue streaming. So I'm going to ignore that for the moment. And going to see what kind of connection I've got. Oh, doesn't let you do that. Well, as you can hear, the experiment with live streaming isn't working very well. But I'll see what I can do. And I'd be interested in hearing from you if you were able to find anything about it anywhere on the World Wide Web. Press watch on live stream happening right now. And in the meantime, I'd like to hear your comments on your economy. What's happening with you? Do you feel confident that you can get work? Do you feel that you can get an apartment or a house in this area? What's going on for you? Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Corey's on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This is kind of an aside, but not an aside. I was just wondering if you'd heard anything about the China devaluation and the U.S. dropping their rod of God weapon on them.
Now, I haven't heard of anyone dropping a rod of God. Where did you hear that?
This is on Natural News and also Liberty Blitzkrieg, Michael Krieger.
Okay, I think that's going to be something. That is a meme that the right wing or libertarian media likes to come up with now and then. And I've never seen any credible evidence that rods from God, let me explain, are iridium rods that are dropped from orbit and which, if aimed correctly, would crash at a tremendous speed and pretty good accuracy. They could be satellite coordinated and would be, if they currently exist in that form, a terrific space weapon. However, of course, once someone is struck with a rod of God, then there's going to be iridium dust all over the place, and it'd be kind of a giveaway. And as far as I know, that hasn't actually happened.
Okay, I was just wondering if you would check that out at all. It was also on a few other sites, Natural News and a few others. So.
Natural News is an interesting site. You can get lots of interesting stuff about, nutrition. And then they throw in stuff like that. So I would say be wary of Natural News. And thanks for telling me about it. And thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. The Chinese did indeed lower the value of their currency. And that seemed to surprise Western watchers, some of whom were pleased that they had done so. That means that Chinese goods are cheaper, and it inflates the value of the dollar. And, of course, the Chinese have trillions in U.S. currency, Treasury reserves. So they have an interest in boosting up things in that manner, and what they have done basically is stimulate their own economy. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, number to call if you have comments or questions. Was talking about the economy, and world socialists are a little skeptical about it, saying that there are these threats. World capitalist economy, once again, they are saying, far from recovering, is descending into depression. There's increasing speculation as to where the next financial meltdown, triggering a collapse in trade and production, will occur. And I was also talking about the fact that the forests are burning here. And that brings up a lot of things, but mostly it brings up global warming. And I'm interested to hear what you think about this situation. I rode my bicycle to work yesterday, pardon me, and I'm coughing just thinking about it. There was smoke in the air, and I coughed for about 5 minutes after I arrived. I almost wish that I had worn a filter while I was biking around, and I'm wondering how that is for you. 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. The world socialists also write that the capitalist breakdown intensifies the drive of imperialism to war. Under conditions of glutted markets and falling demand, the capitalists of each nation seek to expand their share at the expense of their rivals, intensifying conflicts that ultimately are settled by means of military violence. At the same time, the ruling classes seek to divert mounting social tensions at home by deflecting them outward on the basis of national chauvinism and militarism. The crisis cannot be resolved except on the basis of barbarism and war within the framework of capitalism. The global economy, more interconnected than ever before in history, cannot be rationally developed within the framework of rival nation states and private ownership of the means of production. So, and they go on to that and have their traditional words from Leon Trotsky as well. The time is 9:17. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, news you're not supposed to know. Now, I would like to present the Haaretz take on Bernie Sanders. Their writer, initials JTA, that may refer to a committee, produced this article on Sanders. And, of course, they have their attitude on him. They write, Sanders' well-known peak surfaced in June when Diane Rehm, the NPR talk show host, declaratively told him that he had dual U.S.-Israel citizenship, citing an anti-Semitic meme circulating on the internet. Well, no, he said, I do not have dual citizenship with Israel. He said, I'm an American. I don't know where that question came from. I'm an American citizen, and I visited Israel on a couple of occasions. No, I'm an American citizen, period, end quote. So, Haaretz asks, where does Bernie Sanders stand on Israel? Here's a review. And they write, he backs Israel but believes in spending less on defense assistance to Israel and more on economic assistance in the Middle East. Is Sanders a Zionist? He responded, a Zionist, what does that mean? Want to define what the word is? Do I think Israel has a right to exist? Yeah, I do. Do I believe the United States should be playing an even-handed role in terms of its dealings with the Palestinian community in Israel? Absolutely, I do. Again, I think that you have volatile regions in the world. The Middle East is one of them, and the United States has got to work with other countries around the world to fight for Israel's security and existence at the same time as we fight for a Palestinian state where the people in that country can enjoy a decent standard of living, and Bernie Sanders said, which is certainly not the case right now. He said, my long-term hope is that instead of pouring so much military aid into Israel, into Egypt, we can provide more economic aid to help improve the standard of living of the people in that area, end quote. Now, departing from that Haaretz text, that produces emotions for me. And I do think that the best way to be friendly to Israel is to point out how wretchedly militaristic and evil the Likudnik military imperialism is. And I think Sanders comes off as someone who is really going to let that ball roll. I wouldn't say he's fine with it, but I don't hear him saying that he's going to oppose it either. I think that if he were to really oppose the Israeli apartheid versus Palestine versus the Gaza Strip, then he would point out some specifics like that grotesque wall, the atrocities such as Operation Cast Lead and the others. Returning to the article from Haaretz, he will defend Israel to a hostile crowd, but will also fault Israel and will shout down hecklers. At a town hall in Cabot, Vermont, during last summer's Gaza War, a constituent commended Sanders for not signing onto a Senate resolution that solely blamed Hamas for the conflict, but wondered if he would go further. And Sanders said, has Israel overreacted? Have they bombed UN facilities? The answer is yes, and that is terribly, terribly wrong. And then he said, on the other hand, and there is another hand, you have a situation where Hamas is sending missiles into Israel, a fact, and you know where some of these missiles are coming from. They're coming from populated areas, that's a fact. Hamas is using money that came into Gaza for construction purposes, and God knows they need roads and all the things that they need, and use some of that money to build these very sophisticated tunnels into Israel for military purposes, end quote. And once again, I have to respond to that, because that makes me feel like, well, like Sanders is trying to make a false equivalency. This massive satellite-coordinated jets, tanks, submarines, missiles, vast U.S.-supported murder machine needs to exist the way it does to defend Israel from these rockets, which are homemade. Boy, are they homemade. Which can really hurt you if they fall anywhere near you, which they almost never do. They're really more gestures than counteractions. And so, yeah, it's that usual bull stuff. And I'm not impressed. So, you know, I'd be far more interested in Bernie Sanders if he changed his mind in some of these regards. And if he, let's just say, when boycott, divest, and sanctions movement supports Bernie Sanders, well, then I will watch that with interest. But that article I was reading from is from Haaretz. It's 9:22 almost Pacific time. And this is KBOO Portland coming to you from between the many fires, the global warming fires that are throwing smoke into the air, burning up perfectly good timber, which we need to produce oxygen and to hold the slopes of the mountains back. It's an apocalyptic day here in the Northwest, and I'm interested to know what you have to say about it. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And I'm going to beat up on Hillary Clinton next, but first I'll talk to Mark. What's up, Mark?
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I think you're right. There's a worldwide depression underway. The stock market is down 190 points today and keeps grinding its way down. So sooner or later, what you say about these derivatives is probably going to come to pass, that something will happen and then the whole thing will unravel all at once.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem stable, does it?
Yeah, and then who was it? It was somebody said that there's a global bond bubble that's going to burst too, because what happened with the bonds is that they reached their all-time highs in the 1980s at 20%, and now ever since then they've been steadily going down, 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 and down. So now that real interest rates are negative in Europe and even in the United States, so they can't go any lower than a negative rate of return, which is just crazy. So so the whole thing is being held together by baling wire and glue. And
it seems that way, particularly like when I look at the Baltic Dry Index. The highest the Baltic Dry Index got over the last year was 1484, and that was a few months ago. And that's pitiful, and now it's down below 1050. And Baltic Dry Index refers to how much shipping is going on, and how much shipping is going on is a good indicator of how much business is being done internationally. And that in turn reflects how confident people feel in spending money, and that in turn reflects just how wrong everything is, because the stuff that they're shipping around isn't the stuff we need by and large, with the exceptions of grains and supplies and stuff like that. No, the the tchotchkes for Christmas will be shipping over this way and should be arriving in the next month or so on great container ships, and even those are way down. Hey, thanks very much for your call.
Yeah.
Time is 9:24:45. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Well, there's an article by Jonathan Marshall, and I believe it's in Alternet. And he wrote about the situation in Honduras, where, as you know, the elected president was overthrown. And overthrow was pretty much backed up by the United States in the person of former Secretary of State, now former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. While she was Secretary of State, she was actually active in keeping people in Honduras from having democracy. In doing so, she wasn't doing anything unique. I mean, there's a reason that place is called the Banana Republic. The U.S. has been meddling in the government of Honduras on the basis, it used to be entirely on the basis of the desires of prophets of United Fruit. But now there's a giant military base in Tegucigalpa. As a matter of fact, Tegucigalpa, Honduras is mostly a military base, and the city depends economically and socially entirely on it. Well, let me just read from this article. Bowing to pressure from conservative Republicans in Congress, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton refused to condemn the ouster of leftist President Manuel Zelaya in 2009. By her own omission, she began plotting within days to prevent him from returning to office. Her recently released emails show that she sought help from a pro-coup lobbyist for Honduran business interests to establish communications with a new military-backed president. She also approved the continuation of U.S. aid to the illegitimate new regime, blocked demands by the Organization of American States for Zelaya's return, and accepted subsequent presidential elections that were condemned by most international observers as unfair and marred by violent intimidation. So when it comes to imperial same day, different stuff. Well, Clinton's really with that. Returning to the article, President Obama officially welcomed Honduras' dubious new president to the White House and praised his, get this, strong commitment to what? What would he have a strong commitment to, since he took power in the face of Democratic elections, knocked out the democratically elected president, and took a position as a comprador for a country, the United States, which had a long and very, very bloody history of doing that sort of thing. His strong commitment to, oh, guess. Oh, I bet you can guess. President Obama officially welcomed Honduras' dubious new president into the White House and praised his strong commitment to democracy. And that's why I say that word doesn't mean a damn thing anymore. His wife, by the way, not Obama's, but the new Honduran oligarch's wife, is the target of the shoe purchase investigation. There's more to that, but I don't have time for it today because Per Fagring's in the hall and coming right in just a few minutes, a couple of minutes. But to wrap up, the coup represented a disastrous step backward for Honduran society as well as for its politics. University of California historian Dana Frank observed that a vicious drug culture already existed before the coup, but the thoroughgoing criminality of the coup regime opened the door for it to flourish on an unprecedented scale. So drugs are in, democracy is out, Hillary Clinton's in. And I hope you'll stay tuned for more of the incomparable Radio Zine, because that's coming up, and I'll try next week to get the live stream thing going. There's got to be a way, right? Other people do it. And once again, I'd like to make a shout out for those of you who know me, through KBOO, I would like some help to figure out how to put this on SoundCloud. I'd like it to be available on SoundCloud. It's already available on KBOO.FM, but I'd like to expand to SoundCloud. And so in that way, you can get this broadcast via the terrestrial transmitter at 90.7 FM, or hopefully soon via SoundCloud and live streaming and via KBOO.FM, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of the 4th Portland Renters Assembly and their March for Housing Rights. The assembly is on August 26th at the Midland Library from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. There will be speakers on the housing crisis and community organizing, personal stories, large and small group discussion about political strategy, but also defending and otherwise supporting each other. Snacks and childcare will be provided. The march is on August 28th. It starts at City Hall at 6 p.m. with a rally and ends at the Multnomah County Building with another assembly. The theme will be Housing Rights for All and will encompass everything from homelessness to affordable housing to tenants' rights to at-cost public housing. More information can be found at kboo.fm under Community Events or portlandrentersassembly.info.
You gotta fight!